Hey, what's happening? This is Miles Kennedy from Flash and the Conspirators. This is the Weekly Takeover on Pirate Rock.
Hey!
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Just fine. It's fantastic. It's like 10:30 at night here. What time is it there?
It's like 8:30 in the morning. 7:30. 7:30 is really early. 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're in the future, aren't you?
Yeah, sort of. I love your accent. Where are you from?
I grew up in Canada, but I've lived in the States for...
Are you there?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry about that.
Stay on the line, Todd.
Yes, I'm not going anywhere.
So you were saying you had lived in the States for how long?
12 years now.
Okay.
You know, I've been in, not saying that, I, you know, was traveling in and around the U.S. the entire time. So, But I grew up in Canada.
Do people see, like you said, you're from Canada and you go to the States. Are you allowed to do that, or does your friends think of you as not a weird person, but I don't know how to say it in Swedish, but like I can't figure out the word in Swedish. Okay. Ah. Whatever. Yeah, let's
just. Are you saying do the Americans think you're weird, or do you think the Canadians think that you're weird for living in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Well, so that's the funny thing is my Canadian accent started to go away, so I would go back home, and all my Canadian friends would make fun of my new American accent, which I don't think is that different, really, but they would always point out how I talk funny now, and I'd be like, it's not on purpose. I've just been living in the U.S. for 12 years. What am I going to do?
Yeah. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Be nicer to me.
Yeah. You guys are famous for this, what is it called? Syrup? You know, when the thing you put on your pancake, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
That's a very Canadian stereotype, but yes, it's true.
So weird of me to say that, but my friend, he actually got one bottle, and I was allowed to taste one pancake with it, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
It's a little high in sugar, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's my cup of tea.
Absolutely. You don't have syrup in Sweden?
We do, but it's just not the same. It's not the same. It's not so much sugar in it.
Interesting.
You should try
That's
it when
so
you're
funny,
here.
Yeah.
Okay, Todd, let's jump into the music. You guys just recorded the Living the Dream, the album. So how did you end
that
up in this band with all of these amazing people?
Well, it was 2010. Brent Fitz, the drummer, he got the gig. And I was like, that's great. Congratulations. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out to rehearse and jam with this new lineup of guys. And whoever they had playing bass, I don't know what happened exactly, but I just got the phone call saying, can you be at this building at noon the next day? And I was like, sure. And I came by, and they never let me leave. So now it's 8 years later, and here I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do an audition or anything like that? You were just jumping straight into the band?
Well, it was kind of an informal, why don't you come jam? Which always sort of means, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're sort of, if it was terrible, I'm sure they would have said, hey, that was great. See you later. but I came and we we played through... Night Train, the Guns N' Roses song.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only one I really remember playing. And then they just started making plans. I the funny thing about it was I had all kinds of things. I was very busy with my own stuff.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, Slash is telling me we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I'm like, whoa. So it all kind of worked out. But it happened very fast.
Did you do like the happy dance in when you were on your own?
Kind of. It was like I say, it really had happened so fast that it was kind of like you know, it was immediately like as if, you know, they kind of handed me a bunch of books and homework to do. Like, it felt like I had to go and kind of prepare a bunch of music for this tour, you know. And I was like, oh wow. So I literally would, you know, would rehearse all day, go back to a hotel room and learn new songs for the next day and come back. And that happened very quickly. We put together a set list very quickly. Like the Guns N' Roses stuff was never really much work for me because I was already very invested in Guns N' Roses since 1987, really. I mean, I've kind of always been listening to the band since the beginning. It took a minute, but it was, like I say, it was very, very, it was a bit of a whirlwind and definitely a roller coaster because we were on television shows a week later in America doing the Tonight Show with Jay Leno and things like that. So it happened very quickly. It was very fast.
That is so cool. How would you say it is to work with this group of people?
It's amazing for me. I mean, like, honestly, I think of these guys as my friends. You know, we spent my birthday together last year. We all went to Disneyland together.
You did?
And we spent, we spend a lot of time together. And I think of them all as my friends and family, and they're all a big part of my life. Musically, it's, you know, they're the best. Each of them is the best at what they do. I can't imagine anybody in their position to replace them. They're all the best at their jobs. So I have nothing but respect for their ability. And it makes me kind of step up my own game. You know what I mean? Like you feel like you have to be at your best when you're playing with the best people. So I have nothing but the utmost respect. You know, I've known Brent Fitz a long time. We're both from Canada. I've known him 20 plus years. And, you know, Slash and Miles, I've now, you know, been better part of 10 years. And Frank's been a part of it for 6, going on 7 years. So, you know, they're a big chunk of my life.
Is there anyone in the band that's taking on a certain role? Like, hey, I'm going to be the funny dude, or I'm going to be your mom when your mom is not here and stuff like that.
That's funny that you say that, because Frank and I are both, Frank, the rhythm guitar player, and I are both the loud and funny ones, I think. Well, we try to be funny. We're always laughing anyway. Miles is very thoughtful and quiet. Slash is thoughtful and quiet in a different way. He's more of an intense guy, but he can also be a laugh. And actually, oddly enough, Brent Fitz is actually quiet and thoughtful as well. So it's kind of like two jackasses and 3 grown-ups, basically, how it works.
That is hilarious. You guys have put together a new awesome album that is called Living the Dream. So what would you say were the inspiration for this album?
It's funny because I kind of feel like we made an album in 2012 called Apocalyptic Love, and then the follow-up was called World on Fire in 2014. And I feel like this one's kind of a mixture of both of those. Do you know what I mean? In a very strange way, like, we kind of very quickly hit on our own, what I think is very much our own sound, which I think is, you know, it stems largely from Slash's guitar riffs. Obviously, that's sort of the foundation, with Miles's vocal on top. And I think we really kind of, Miles and I have both been able to find our own sound within having, you know, our vocals that we do together are pretty prominent. All the harmonies are very, very prominent within all the songs. And, you know, it's mostly like a hard driving record with these kind of sweet vocals sprinkled on top.
Yeah.
And with Flash just tearing it up on the lead guitar. So it's funny how we kind of found that sound very early on, and we just sort of, if anything, expanded on that for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Pirate Rock, the home of rock music.
Like, tell me more about, let me just see which song it was.
Lost Inside the Girl. Yeah, that's, oddly enough, I always felt like that was kind of like feels like it's a soundtrack to a David Lynch film. I don't know if you're aware or familiar with his work, but it has this sort of driving quality to it. Reminds me of a number of eerie type Slash has this eerie kind of guitar thing going on it, but yet we're all kind of driving straight through. And it's bizarrely romantic, which I think is kind of interesting, that Miles has been like, I think in the past he has been very, he's tried to be a lot more, I guess the word would be poetic when it comes to like singing about, you know, love or about girls or any of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then lately I find his songs to be a lot less, like he's more direct about it. Like it's sort of like, you know, it's very much a love song in its own way, lost inside the girl. I can't speak for him because I didn't write the lyrics, but it definitely feels very honest and very, very, a very pretty song.
Okay.
Again, it has that classic, you know, Miles and I are singing these big chorus together, and then Slash has his insane guitar solo in the middle of the song. So it just has a really cool driving vibe to it, I think.
And what about the song, The One You Loved Is Gone?
Well, that's another good example of Miles being pretty direct and honest about his emotional stuff again. That song, it almost felt like there wasn't going to be a slow song, if you want to call it, I suppose, the idea would be to call it a ballad.
Mm-hmm.
It almost felt like there wasn't going to be one on this record, but it kind of came up, and Miles is so good at that particular side of things. You know, and it's again, it's a very nakedly emotional song, and I think it's really a really beautiful one. We worked on that one a lot. We kind of we do that a lot. We sort of put songs together and we pull them apart, take a look at this, take a look at that, put it back together, and is this working, is that working, stretch this out, shorten this part, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that song especially has, it takes a minute to get to the chorus, which is kind of unusual for us. We're sort of all from the school of don't bore us, get to the chorus kind of mentality. But this was sort of like, it takes a little bit to kind of get to that first big chorus. And then, again, it's another amazing guitar solo by Slash in that one. But it really is, almost every record that we've done has to have something of, you know, that is deeply emotional that way. And I think that probably goes all the way back to Sweet Child of Mine for Slash. You know, having a song that is sort of, you know, I would be sort of coined, be it a ballad or otherwise. It's just sort of like a very raw and emotional song.
Is there anyone that it's like your favorite on the album?
Funny that you say that, because I've been thinking about that, because we've been going over all the new songs, you know, just trying to work them out. I think in a lot of ways, Serves You Right ended up being a very strong one for me.
Mm-hmm.
It just has this kind of like really cool groove to it, and I really like the way the vocals go in the chorus. There's these sort of like harmony things going on behind Miles in the chorus. There's quite a bit of that actually on this record, more than usual. Mind Your Manners has a lot of stuff going on in the background, with big vocals in the background that I built with our producer. And, you know, overall, it's a very rockin' record. Like, stuff like Call of the Wild is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
My Antidote feels really strong.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, I feel like it's our best record yet, as far as we kept this one down to 12 songs. Slash had initially talked about doing a 10-song record. And I was like, oh, wow, because our previous record, World on Fire, was 17 songs. It's pretty much two albums worth of music, you know?
Yeah.
So he wanted to keep this one a lot more concise. But it went from 10 to 12. And it feels like it was a very direct statement overall, just kind of come out and hit everybody hard with 12 songs and then leave it at that.
Yeah, that is so cool. High five on you guys.
Yeah, high five back at you.
Okay, so Todd, I'm going to kick off with some fun questions. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay.
Always.
So if you were to listen to the same music group your whole life, which group would that be?
Wow, that's a tough one. I guess I'd probably go with the Beatles, only because that's a very, very big set list. Second would be the Ramones. Third would be Kiss. If I had to pick,
the fourth would be.
But that's a very difficult question, because it's like I'm one of those people that would be you know, I would have a tough time with that. But yeah, I guess I would land comfortably on the Beatles and say, okay, this is all I get to listen to the rest of my life. Yeah. I guess I'll listen to this. I'll dig in and just know every single song by them till the day I die.
The funny thing is that Frank and Brent said the same.
Did they?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by that. We're all huge Beatles fans. Slash always kind of half makes fun of us because we're always talking about Beatles songs and how to figure out this chord structure and that chord structure. I think it's a funny thing that these many years later, we can still find a great deal of inspiration within a group of four guys.
Yeah.
You know, who made music, you know, 40 years ago now, mm-hmm. 50 years ago now, I guess. It's hard to imagine. The Rolling Stones and bands like that are a very close second for me. I'm such a fan of music that it's hard to really pinpoint just one band.
Yeah. Slash, you said the Stones.
Like the Ramones and bands like Kiss, you know.
Yeah.
What's that?
Slash, he said the Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones is very close for me, too. In fact, the Rolling Stones, if you ask me what my favorite song of all time is, it's always Jumpin' Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first song I ever remember hearing as a little kid, and I actually have their lyrics to that song tattooed on my arm. But it's just one of those, you know, I think as a whole, I kind of sort of lean towards the Beatles. But
yeah.
But the Stones are definitely up there in the top five for me, or top four.
It is a tough question. So what about this one? I think this one is even more tougher. So if you were to be a woman for one day, what would you do?
Wow. I think I'd probably feel a lot of sympathy for my wife. I would probably be like, oh my God, all these men are idiots.
Yeah.
These men are all stupid. That's a very interesting question. I don't know what I would do. I'd probably be fascinated with my own body, first of all.
Yeah.
Probably spend a lot of time looking in the mirror and like admiring myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would probably, I don't know. It's a very interesting. I'm surrounded by so much femininity in my life because my mother, my wife, I have two daughters. It's like, it's a funny thing to be so surrounded by, you know, at the same time I go out on the road with a rock band, a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Me. But yeah, no, I don't know what I would do. I guess I'd probably just, you know, I don't know, just probably stare at myself naked.
It's so funny because that the answers of this question is so different every time. I mean, we had all this.
Really?
People would say, hey, I would go to labor. I would try to have the period. I would go to the spa. I would be a stripper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But
that's
hey,
hilarious.
It's totally fine if you just want to stand and stare at yourself in the mirror.
Well, I think I probably would initially be so fascinated with it and probably very quickly get bored.
Yeah.
And be like, okay.
Okay, I've seen that ass four times now.
I've seen that. Yeah. Now I guess I'll go watch, I don't know, something. I probably would probably do exactly the same things that I always do.
Yeah.
Eat the same foods and drink lots of coffee and watch the TV shows I like.
Yeah.
I would just happen to be doing it as a woman instead of me.
Yeah. Totally fine. So the next...
Yeah, I'd be like, whatever.
Yeah, the next question is, if you were to punch someone in the face, who would you punch?
Punch someone in the face? Lex Luthor or the Joker. Somebody, a bad guy who doesn't exist, I guess. Basically. So I don't really want to punch anybody in the face.
Good answer.
Some sort of like, you know, or like a, I don't know, like a bad guy on the Power Rangers, or like some sort of like made up bad guy. I guess I'd fight them, and that way I would feel somewhat vindicated by the fact that they had done something very, very terrible, and I had to do that to save the day.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm more of a lover than a fighter.
Totally fine. So, if you were to live in some kind of TV series, what TV series would that be, and why?
I think I would live in the 90s version of The Simpsons, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be really interesting. I think it'd mostly be interesting to be animated all the time. And because I used to know that show so well. That or Seinfeld. I don't know why. Seinfeld, I'm still obsessed with that show. Every time the reruns come on, I watch them again. I find Kramer to be infinitely fascinating.
And he is so weird.
He is the weirdest. But I think he could probably use a fifth member of that show, and it could be me.
Yeah.
Me and Jerry and George and Elaine and Kramer. And Newman, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so the last question is, if you were to have a superhero's power for one day, which power would that be? And you are allowed to come up with your own one.
With your own power?
Well, yeah.
I think I've thought about that a lot because I am a comic book nerd and obsessed with that kind of thing. My initial answer is flight, but it always seems like if you can fly but you can't really do anything about flying, it seems immediately kind of a pointless power to have. I pay attention to things like, say, Luke Cage or something like that, and I go, well, being bulletproof would certainly be a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
So I guess I would lean towards being bulletproof because having superhero powers means you're supposed to be helping people with your superpowers. I think just being able to fly would be kind of pointless, really. You know, I can fly, you know, but I can't really save anybody. Being bulletproof, I guess that would put me in the position of like, well, I can go in and help people out and be that guy, I guess. You know, then I buy a jetpack and then I can fly as well.
That is a great answer.
I can always figure out a way to fly some other way, but you can't figure out how to be bulletproof.
No, no.
I don't know, bulletproof vest or something like that, but that never seems to be quite effective enough.
I mean, you can always aim for the head.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. So, bulletproof.
Yeah.
I'll go with bulletproof.
That it is.
I always like the Wolverine thing of, Wolverine being able to heal very quickly, but I still think that that comes with a lot of, you know, the healing is, you know, you're going to get hurt and then you have to heal. But I think if you're actually bulletproof, then you're probably okay.
Yeah. I love the answers.
These are riveting. The funny thing is I'll hang up the phone and be thinking immediately of every one of these questions and be, oh, I should have said this and I should have said that.
Hopefully, when you guys are on tour, we get to see each other and then you can figure out new answers.
Absolutely. I will come up with a whole new array of answers when I get to
Todd, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us on Pirate Rock. And I wish you all the luck with the new album, Living the Dream.
Thank you so much. Hope to see you when we get over there.
You got it. Have a nice sleep tight. Because you are going to sleep now, right?
Exactly. eventually.
Yeah. So,
thank
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a great night.
You too.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, what's happening? This is Miles Kennedy from Flash and the Conspirators. This is the weekly takeover on Pirate Rock.